Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, March 14th. Today, we start a week-long series titled Walking Wisely. We set the foundation by helping you build your life on godly wisdom.
There are only two ways to walk in this life, and that is to walk wisely or to walk unwisely. If you choose to walk wisely in this life, you can expect contentment, you can expect courage, you can expect confidence in your life. You can expect peace and progress, and above all else, you can anticipate God's presence and power and His wonderful, marvelous approval of your life. Well, I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want us to look at this particular passage that has to do with God's challenge to us to walk wisely. And in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, beginning in verse 15, here's what he says. On the basis of his admonitions to us before, he says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And Paul is simply saying to us this. He says, on the basis of the kind of world in which we live, he says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you live," is what he's saying. That is, be sensitive to what's going on around you. Be alert to what's happening. We have three enemies, the world system, the flesh, and the devil. He says, be careful how you walk. Not only that, he says, making the most of your time. That is, taking advantage of every opportunity that you and I have. If we walk wisely, we will take advantage of opportunity. If we walk wisely, we will not squander our time, our resources, our finances, our relationships. We will be sensitive. We'll watch out what's going on around us. We will be alert. We will be on guard lest somehow Satan trip us up. Then he says, so then, do not be foolish. Don't walk unwisely. But he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is that you and I would walk wisely in order that we may become the persons God wants us to be, do the things God wants us to do, and that you and I would enjoy all the benefits that God has for us. Now, let me just say this. Wisdom is that capacity to be able to look at a circumstance and see it beyond what appears on the surface. Therefore, if you and I are going to be wise persons, then we must be able and must be willing to look at things from God's perspective. We must look at them from His framework, the way He sees things. Oftentimes we make decisions and don't know all the circumstances that are involved. But walking wisely says that you and I have a relationship with Almighty God who is all wise. He sees the big picture. He sees things in relationship too. So when He says, be careful how you walk now, he says, walk wisely, not as unwise men, but as wise men. So what he's talking about, simply this, the very foundation of all wisdom, it begins with a personal reverence for Almighty God, which means this. If I'm going to be wise, I must understand who God is, and upon the basis of understanding who God is, surrender my will and my way to this sovereign God who in all His wisdom has only chosen, will only choose the best way always in every circumstance. So when somebody says, are you a wise person? You ask yourself the question, am I living in submission to God? Do I know God? Do I know His Son, Jesus Christ? Do I want His will? Am I searching for His will? And let me say this. You cannot be a wise person and abandon God for your life. You may tell me all about how knowledgeable you are and how many degrees you have and all the accomplishments, all the achievement, all the recognition, all the notoriety, all the fame and the fortune. And I want to tell you, my friend, without God, you're still playing the fool's game. Because apart from God, he says, listen, the beginning of wisdom is reverence for God. You may impress the world and you may seemingly get along for a season of time. But I want to show you that the world's way and the world's wisdom is not acceptable in God's eyes. It's not sufficient. It's going to prove disappointing. And ultimately, if you ignore God, abandon Him in your life and try to live apart from Him, you're going to end up facing Him one of these days in all eternity, having played the fool. So, spiritual wisdom is that gift that God gives to those who reverence Him, commit themselves to walking in obedience to Him as the sovereign of the universe, submitted to, committed to, yielded to, and walking in His will as a way of life. That's what a wise person is. Now, knowledge is something that comes from study. Knowledge is of God. For example, if God didn't pull back the curtains, you and I couldn't understand a lot of things that are happening in the world, and we couldn't understand things that we have to do and how to go about them. All knowledge is a gift of God. But knowledge and wisdom are not the same. Go back, if you will, to Proverbs for a moment, and look, if you will, in this fourth chapter, and notice what he says. He clarifies it, and oftentimes you'll see the difference, the distinction between knowledge and wisdom, and sometimes they're very close in the Proverbs. He says in the fourth chapter, he says, acquire wisdom, exclamation point, acquire understanding or knowledge. And so they are not the same. And so oftentimes a person has the idea that because they are very knowledgeable, lots of experience, that they're wise. There are many people who are extremely knowledgeable who are not wise at all. You see, a wise person not only has understanding and knowledge, but a wise person knows how to use the knowledge that they have and the understanding that they have. They know how to do it. A person can be very knowledgeable, but not know how to use the knowledge that they have. And the process of not being wise, there is confusion. And that confusion is going to lead to disappointment and despair in their life because they unwisely use the things that God has given them, their opportunities, their wealth, and the privileges God has afforded them. You can have a lot of head sense, but what about my heart? What's the condition of my heart? What's my attitude about life? Do I have perception? Do I have understanding? Can I listen to someone and hear more than one message and more than two messages? Can I listen to someone, sit down before someone and hear the message that comes from their lips? Can I hear the message that comes from their eyes? Can I hear the message that comes from the way they handle their body sitting there? Can I discern from them what they do not say? Do I hear what they're not saying as well as what they're saying? Do I see beyond what I see? Do I hear beyond what my physical ears hear? You see, knowledge is not enough. God grants wisdom to those who desire wisdom with certain absolute, irrevocable requirements in order to become wise. And so you can have knowledge without wisdom, but a wise person utilizes their knowledge to their greatest advantage. I want you to go back to James for just a moment. Let's look at that third chapter again, because we're talking about the distinction between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, God's wisdom. Now look at this. We said we have three enemies, primarily. The world system in which we live, the flesh, that is our naturalness, and the devil. Isn't it interesting what James says here? He says, now, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of his wisdom. He says, now, if your life's characterized by bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, he says, don't be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not from above. Listen. Treating people the wrong way. That's not wise. He says that didn't come down from above. It's earthy. It's natural. It's demonic. Now look at this for a moment. He says man's human wisdom is earthy. It is natural and it's demonic. Now what does he mean by that? Simply this, that man's wisdom is limited. How is it limited? It's limited to what earthly man can conceive of and understand. All the wisdom that man has within himself apart from God is what man in his fallen, sinful, blinded nature can come up with. That is, man at his best is not wise. Why? Because he has a sinful nature. His sinful nature governs his life. And so he says the wisdom of the world is earthly. It's limited, not heavenly. It's natural. People do what comes naturally. And that is not what's wise, but what comes naturally. Why? Because our naturalness seeks to satisfy, gratify, reach out, do whatever's necessary to get our own happiness, our own gratification, our own satisfaction. That's the natural way to live. Why not? The world says. You don't have but one life. You get one life in this. You better get all you can get while you can. Step on whoever you can. Whatever's necessary. Just get it, get it, get it. Do, because life's going to be over. It's going to be all over. What a foolish way to look at life. He says now, three characteristics of the world's wisdom. It's very limited. It's earthy. Nothing heavenly about it. It's not spiritual. It's on the basis of man's fallen nature. That's all the capacity he has. And not only that, he says it's demonic. Listen to that. The world's wisdom is demonic. What does that mean? We'll go back to the Garden of Eden. And what happened? What did Satan say to Eve? He said, you want to be like God? You want to have the knowledge God's got? Here's the best way. You take a bite of this, and you won't surely die. I mean, you know what God said. You won't surely die. Just take a bite of this. Have a bite. You'll be like God, knowing good from evil. Well, would you say that Eve made a wise decision? Absolutely not. You know what she did? She decided to believe a liar rather than God. And the consequences of Eve's sin has been dumped on every single one of us because all of us came into this world with a sinful nature of which God had to deal with in our life until he could give us a new spirit and a new sense of victory in our life over sin. Now, you think about this for a moment. The world is going to live with wisdom that is characterized by limited to what man in his earthly limitations can do, with his fallen nature, which is in opposition, rebellion toward God, and it's demonic in its source by its very nature. So think about this. When you and I choose to live unwisely, out of the will of God, doing our own thing our own way, here's what we've said. I choose to live by the wisdom of the earthly, by my naturalness, and that which is demonic. You say, oh, no, 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 I wouldn't say that. You don't have to say it. That's what we're doing. When we choose, listen, because wisdom begins with reverence for God as the sovereign of this universe, I yield myself to him. I commit myself to him. I want to walk in his ways. Whenever I choose, and whenever you choose to have it your way, in rebellion against God, indifference to God, doing it some other way than God's way, what we've said is, I prefer the earthly, I prefer the natural, I prefer the demonic way of living. Then, my friend, what do you get? You get the same thing that all sin's consequences bring. Certainly not joy and peace and happiness and confidence and courage and strength. Certainly not the approval of God and peace. Certainly not progress and prosperity in your life. You don't get any of those things. But disappointment and disillusion and discontent. And you look around you. You look around at people who are living unwisely. They're discontent. They get disillusioned. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no happiness. They may live it up on the weekend or at some party somewhere. But when they get by themselves and they get absolutely deadly honest about their life, there's no real joy. There's no real contentment. There's no real peace. They're looking for something. You see, this world is so frantically looking for something to satisfy. That's why in the movies, they have to become more and more and more and more explosive and using all kinds of new technology. They got to get worse and worse and worse and worse than the next. Why? Because it's man's futile, foolish, endless search for something to satisfy the human heart, and nothing can satisfy the human heart but Almighty God himself. Cannot. So there are two kinds of wisdom, no doubt about it. There's the wisdom of the world, earthly, natural, and demonic. There's the wisdom of God. It says you and I have the capacity to see beyond what is seen, hear what is not spoken, the capacity to make decisions that fit into God's plan and will and purpose for our lives. We have the wisdom to make right choices in life, the power to make right choices in life, the confidence to make right choices in life. Those choices may be very, very, very unacceptable to others, but if it's a God's choice, it'll be a wise choice. Now think about this. Why should we look at the world and look for a pattern of living? And listen, one of the reasons for the weakness in the church is the churches look to the world and say, yes, 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 yes. When God wants the world to look at us and see such a difference that they're saying, wait a minute, what is this? Think about this. We look heavenly for what? The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. The whole idea of being born again, that didn't come from man. Where did that come from? That came from God. He says, that which is born from above, the scripture says. We think in terms as believers, where are our treasures? Our treasures are not on earth. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven. I think about when he says this evil world, think about where we look. Where's our eternal home? It's in heaven. Where's our hope? It's in heaven. Why should we, who are citizens of heaven, indwelt by the God of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, why should we look to the unwise world for a way and a pattern to live? It is absolutely foolish. It doesn't fit who we are or God's purpose in our life. So ask yourself this question. Could somebody who knows you rather well say, you're a very wise lady. You're a very wise young person. You're a very wise man. Would they say that about you? What is it about your life that would cause someone to say, you are so wise? That was a very wise decision. Can they say that about you? What would be their basis of saying it? Now, let me just leave it with one last phrase. I want you to remember this. If you forget everything else, remember this. You want to live and walk wisely? If you will remember this simple, short, brief, concise question, and when you come to a decision in your life, ask this question. It's so simple, you cannot forget it. Is this a wise decision? You say, well, that's mighty short. I told you to be short. Is this a wise decision? As a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to trigger yes or no. That's his business. That's his responsibility. When you say, is this a wise decision? You see, those of us who are believers, we have a connection with God. We have a communication that is continuous and eternal and uninterrupted. When we come to a decision, we can say, Father, is this wise? And the Spirit of God will give you wise direction, wise counsel. He will lead you to make the right decision. Now think about this. We're all going to walk one or two directions. All going to walk one or two ways. One of them is the right way. It is God's way. It is the best way. It is the most profitable way. It is eternally profitable. It is profitable today and will be profitable for all eternity. The other way is the wrong way. That's Satan's way. That is the world's way. That's man's way without God. There is no possibility of walking that way and enjoying these benefits. Because you see, wisdom in essence is acknowledging who God is, reverencing him as the sovereign of this universe, yielding your life to him and saying, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And the simple question in every decision is, Father, is this wise? And he'll show you exactly what to do. Well, now, where does all that begin? First wise decision in your life is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If there were any other way to get to heaven, I'd be more than happy to tell you, but there's not. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. There's no assurance of life after this one with God apart from a relationship with Christ. And I want to invite you to make the wisest decision you'll ever make in life, second to none, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by confessing your sins to him and acknowledging and confessing that when he died on the cross at Calvary, he paid your sin debt in full. God arranged it to be so. He took your place. And the moment you said to him, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. And I'm trusting you as my personal Savior. You will have made the most important, the wisest decision you will ever make in your life. And it will be the beginning of a lifetime of walking wisely with your Heavenly Father and enjoying the benefits of an unconditionally loving God.
Thank you for listening to Godly Wisdom. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.